So what I want to ask Chandra is, how would you think through this situation outside a protocol setting? What are the options you might be thinking about? And would you consider a Virostrat assay?
So outside of a clinical trial, I guess the two options are to give him docetaxel as a single agent, which is approved in the second line setting, or to give him erlotinib based on BR21. And if you are going to give him erlotinib, which I think that the activity, again, is modest at best, because if BR21 were to be done today, it would probably be a negative trial in this subgroup of patients who are EGFR wild type and squamous cell carcinoma. So would I do a Virostrat? I have not done Virostrat. I'm not convinced with the idea. If you have to give erlotinib, you might as well give it. It's only for, Virostrat is only for that group of patients, which is Virostrat poor, where you should not give erlotinib and you would give chemotherapy.
So, Ram, are you using Virostrat? And how would you approach this man?
No, answer to your first question is no. Virostrat, I don't use it. And in patients who don't have EGFR mutation, I tend to use chemotherapy in second-line setting and rarely erlotinib in the third-line setting.
If you believed, and again, we'll let Mark present the data, but if you believe that Virostrat can identify a group of patients who do as well with erlotinib as with, let's say, docetaxel, if you believe that, do you think it would be helpful? Do you think that, for example, erlotinib would be better tolerated?
You know, the problem with all these tests is that we need to know exactly what we are measuring. You know, with proteomics is evolving right now, and I'm sure we'll know a little bit more in the future. The question really is, are we going to base a test that we are convinced that it is the right way to identify patients? As Chandra said, if you have to give erlotinib, you may as well give a therapeutic trial for a few months. So I also want to point out that erlotinib is not a benign drug. It has toxicities, it has side effects that are not that different from some chemotherapy drugs. Arguably, docetaxel has higher rates of myelosuppression, but I don't feel that if you're not convinced of the utility of a test, I would use that primarily to decide who should get what.
So I'll get more feedback from you on this Virostrat question, because just, I don't know, I know there wasn't a lot of excitement of it, but when I looked up at there, I thought, and I know there were people in the audience who brought this question up in terms of maybe it is a practical issue that if you believe that erlotinib, as you suggested, you don't believe, might be less toxic. Anyhow, what happened with this patient?
I did get a Virostrat test on him. He turned out to be good. My view of the Virostrat is that it clearly has both a prognostic and predictive aspect of it. I was really looking for a reason not to use erlotinib in him, but that would have been the case in the poor. I've always been struck by the BR21 curves. I think most of us would agree that even though erlotinib has utility in the wild-type population, there are a fair amount of patients who really get no benefit in the wild-type population. We've never been able to identify by clinical or molecular factors a group that clearly doesn't have benefit, save for the whole KRAS. And KRAS is controversial because that's mostly a response rate, not necessarily a survival issue in this setting. And so I think Virostrat has clearly identified, it's interesting the way this has evolved. I think often we forget that this test was actually developed independently by some fairly credible lung cancer investigators, Dr. Carbone at Vanderbilt and in the Colorado group. And this serum proteomic test identifies a binary result for better or for worse. We call them good and poor. I'm not quite sure how that language started out, but the breakdown is about 70-30. 70% of the patients end up being good, 30% end up being poor. One of the problems with the development of this test early on is that all the data was relatively small subsets looked at retrospectively. And then they were able to look at the BR21 database retrospectively. And I think the bottom line from all of that retrospective data, including BR21, is we were all convinced that this test really had a prognostic aspect to it. But the question was, how predictive was it one way or the other?